Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, y'all? We are back with another edition of the DNVR Rams podcast. As always, I'm your host, Justin Michael. It has been an insane couple of days. I've been in six cities this week, five different airports, like 30 straight something hours without sleeping at one point between being in Dayton and needing to get back to Columbus and trying to get to Charlotte in time for the open practice and obviously for a big game against Texas on Thursday. Really thankful for DNVR for allowing me to come out on the road and be a part of this. It's certainly exhausting. I've never done anything quite like it, but I've also never had this much fun. And if you've listened to the podcast for a long time, you know that the Tim Miles era, 2011, 2012, those years, and then Larry Eustacey year one, where they obviously beat Missouri in the first round of the NCAA tournament before losing to the ultimate national champion, Louisville. That whole time period was so influential for me. For one, it's a big reason why I'm so into college basketball, the Mountain West specifically. That's when I really got into the league. I had always been a Mountain West football fan. But there weren't quite as many games on TV when I was growing up. And once I, you know, really got into it and got to see just Moby and the madness and the crowds, it really affirmed that I needed to be at CSU. And unfortunately, during my time, during my undergrad, I didn't get to see CSU hoops have a ton of success. There were some fun years, in particular that Stanton kid year, 2014-2015. I know that team got snubbed, but it was a lot of fun. I didn't get to experience them in the real postseason, though. I mean, NIT appearances are one thing, but March Madness, the NCAA tournament, it's what it's all about. And for this to come full circle 11 years later, it just kind of feels like fate to me, destiny. I don't know. I don't want to be too corny, but it's not lost on me. Just kind of how cool it is that all these years later, all these moments in my life are kind of culminating here. And, you know, I go to CSU. I work for the football team for a while, eventually get into the media side of things, and, you know, obviously where we're at now with DNVR, it's just been really cool. And I hope that Ram fans are able to appreciate the moment. These seasons historically have been few and far between. Definitely hoping that it becomes more of the standard moving forward, that you can become a team where the expectation is, you know, we're going to make the tournament and win a game, you know, not just make the tournament. That would be awesome. We're not quite there yet, but man, this has been a blast. On this pod, I'm going to break down the win over Virginia. Absolutely dog walk those boys. They did not even belong on the same court with CSU. We'll get into all that. I'll give some thoughts on Texas. I'll give my picks for the Final Four. Real quick, I want to shout out our friends over at Coors Light. Sometimes it feels like we got to be on all the time. It's important to hit the reset every now and then, whether that means going out with friends, catching a game, chilling around a fire pit. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's cold mountain refreshment. It's made to chill. When you're juggling work, family life, it can be chaotic. Sometimes you just got to sit back, let that ice cold Coors Light hit your lips, take a deep breath, and just refresh. You know, I mean, we're all going through it here. Life is hard. Coors Light makes it a little bit easier. It's cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. When it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer I reach for. When you want to hit the reset, grab the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/DNVR. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. I also want to talk to you guys about Empire Today. You get the shop at home convenience, the right product for your needs, quick and professional installation, and a price match guarantee. Empire Today is the best place to get new flooring. They're going to have copycats out there, but those copycats, they can't touch Empire, not on their quality, not on their service, not on their speed. So what they're going to do is they advertise low-quality products that Empire simply won't carry. They won't promise you the lowest prices because if they do that, they're trying to sell you flooring they wouldn't even put in your own home. That's not what Empire is about. Empire wants to keep it easy, they want to keep it simple, and they want to make sure you get the best quality product. Their philosophy is to help you find what you need, not overwhelm you with thousands of choices and substitutes. Honestly, what they leave out of their selection, that's just as important as what they leave in. With their virtual floor designer, it's a great way to see how new floors will look in any space. Just snap a picture, boom, you can see how is this flooring going to look with our walls, with our furniture, all that. Sometimes that can be tough. Schedule a free in-home estimate today. All listeners can receive a $350 discount when they use the promo code DNVR. Restrictions do apply. See empiretoday.com/DNVR for details. All right, now that we've paid the bills, let's get right on into it here. This was a good old-fashioned ass-whooping in Dayton. CSU takes down Virginia 67-42. The game was over about 5 minutes into the second half, realistically. There's always that part of you, especially as a CSU supporter. We've all been there. We've all seen the Rams find a way to shock us disappointingly. But I really, at halftime, I knew it was over. 5 minutes in, I knew it was over. And by 10 minutes in, even the most cynical part of my CSU brain was like, there is no way this Virginia team is coming back right now. Really, neither team had any business being in a play-in game, but that's just because CSU should have been in the field comfortably, and Virginia should not have been in the field at all. They should not have been a tournament team. That doesn't take away from what CSU accomplished. They finished third in the ACC. We all heard the ACC talk all that shit all year long. How superior they are to the Mountain West, yada, yada, yada. I can't believe this terrible league is going to get six teams into the field. Well, guess what? We shut them up. We let our play on the court do the talking. We made a statement, not just for CSU, but for the entire Mountain West as a whole. And I just can't stop saying enough good things about CSU in this one. I felt pretty confident that this was a matchup that the Rams could win, but to win by 25 to hold the opponent to a season low 42 points, 25 points is CSU's biggest largest margin of victory since taking down Wright State, literally the second game of the season. It was insane. And really, like I said, Virginia didn't even look like they belonged on the court with CSU. It started off a little bit shaky. Unsurprisingly, you're going up against a unique defense. The pack line defense is certainly wonky. It's not something you see very often. And you've got nerves, too. I mean, you got to know, these are teenagers, guys in their young 20s. They're experiencing their dream come true. They're going to be a little bit amped. And you can see that. They rushed things early on. There were a couple of sloppy turnovers where they were really just kind of trying to do too much. Blew a couple of layups early. I think they started like 1 of 4 from within 2 feet of the hoop. And they were all good looks, but they were just rushing them. And about 5 minutes into the game, right around the 15-minute mark, CSU started a stretch where they made 7 consecutive field goals. And I think it just gave them confidence. They recognized, oh, we can score on this team. We can get whatever look we want. We're comfortable playing late into a possession, being, you know, needing to get a look up with a couple seconds left on the shot clock. That's nothing new for CSU because a lot of teams in the Mountain West defend at a high level. And it was just really big for their confidence. Joel Scott started playing bully ball. He starts 1 of 3 from the floor, misses a couple layups, ends up making 8 straight, finishes with the season high, 23 points, 11 rebounds. He kicked Virginia's ass up and down the floor. They couldn't do anything with him, nothing at all. And it was just really cool to see because it's such a fun story being a former D2 guy who had actually back-to-back Final Four runs at the D2 level. Now he gets a chance to do it at the D1 level. And it really isn't surprising, not if you've watched this team closely. He's been such a massive, massive factor for this team over the last 6 to 8 weeks or so. I mean, he's been great all year, but he's just really taken it to a new level. And his presence in the post down low, it was absolutely massive because with him being able to just get down there and do whatever he wants, they They had to send a little bit of help at times, and then it opens things up on the outside. The Rams, to their credit, they were able to knock down some of those open jump shots that they'd been missing of late. Isaiah Stevens hit a big three in the first half to kind of spark that run. He obviously didn't have a huge game scoring-wise, but he didn't need to, and that's what makes him special. Unlike a lot of teams' superstars, he doesn't necessarily have to put up 15 shots to positively impact the floor. He was rebounding, playing great defense, he's facilitating, finding a way to benefit his team and not make it about himself. I mean, if Jill Scott's able to get whatever look he wants down low, keep feeding the hot hand. And that's what CSU did. They kept creating high quality looks time and time again, whether that be down low, whether that be along the perimeter. It was great to see Patrick Cartier hit a couple of threes. He had 12 points on a night where he took the mask off. From what I've heard, the doctors didn't exactly recommend it, but he wasn't comfortable out there wearing it. You could see it was bugging him. And in this situation, man, he wanted to lay it all on the line. I love it. It was great to see that. He's only hit multiple threes in a game 4 times since the start of conference play. He did it 5 times in the non-conference slate alone. If he can knock those down with what you're going to get from Jill Scott down low, with what Nate Clifford's doing, I mean, by God, he was the most athletic player on the floor by a wide margin, 17 points, 7 of 12 from the floor. Only went 1 of 4 from 3, but 2 of 3 at the line, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. He had the only block for CSU in the game. Just did a little bit of everything, and his ability to drive on guys and get to the hoop and then finish with finesse over his defender, it was so big for CSU because they didn't always have to settle for those outside jumpers. There are times where you're going to have to knock them down, but his ability to get in the paint, to drive on them, to be aggressive in that first half, I just thought him and Jill Scott, they really set the tone. And they talked about it post-game. You know, that's really been their goal on both sides of the ball this year, is to be a team that doesn't get pushed around. They have a lot of skill, but they don't want to necessarily only be a finesse team. They want to be a team that can beat you in a variety of different styles. And I think that's kind of the biggest difference between this team and the NCAA tournament team of 2 years ago, is they're a little bit more malleable. They can, you know, adjust to their settings a little bit. And on a night where CSU needed to make a statement, not just for them, but for the entire Mountain West, they came out and absolutely embarrassed Virginia. Like I said, they didn't deserve to be in the field in the first place, but I've never seen an offense look that inept. They got a couple of good looks that they bricked too, but they missed 20 straight shots at one point. And really, by about 5 minutes into the second half, they weren't even trying anymore. It wasn't like they were trying to push in transition or create some opportunities. There was one stretch there, I think, where they had like a 4-0 run where we had a turnover and then they got like a put back and a dunk, then they cashed three, something like that. Other than that, though, I mean, they pretty much rolled over and just took it. Like, you got the walk-ons in the game. You didn't even need an intense game out of Isaiah Stevens to win by 25. It was pretty much the perfect scenario. Like, there's probably going to be a moment in this tournament, if the Rams are going to survive in advance, where you need that Zay mode, not necessarily a 40-point game or something like that, but you're going to need a stretch where Zay gets hot, you know, cashes a couple threes, has like an 8-0 run by himself. He still doesn't look 100% to me. He was definitely moving a lot better than he was moving in that last game against New Mexico out in Vegas. I actually thought at the open practice, he looked like he was moving even better in Charlotte than he was in Dayton, so that's hopefully encouraging. But I just thought this was a really heady performance from CSU. They basically did whatever they wanted to on both sides of the floor. It didn't have to be that complicated. They just went out there, they executed, and they let their play on the court do all the talking. You guys know how I feel about the Rams being the last team in the field, the last at-large bid at least. It was ridiculous. We made a statement. And I know that the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee is not supposed to use past performance into the equation when it comes to selecting these teams in the field, but it's clear that they do. If they didn't, Michigan State is in a play-in game. They're not a 9 seed comfortably. If they didn't, San Diego State wouldn't be a 5 seed, even though their resume is more or less very similar to Boise State and CSU, who got play-in games. You know, FAU wouldn't be an 8 seed, despite the fact that they didn't beat anybody in the field all year long. They're getting credit for what they did last year. And for better or for worse, the Mountain West, has, well, for worse, I guess is what it's been. They have not been able to have a ton of success in the NCAA tournament. And I think that reputation was definitely used against them in the field. It would really help the league to make a little bit of noise this year outside of San Diego State. You know, you've got some winnable matchups. We'll get into it in just a second, but I don't hate how the Texas draw comes out for CSU. Dayton, although they've been up and down, had a good start in the non-conference schedule, I suppose. That's a team that I think Nevada should be able to hang with. TCU, I don't love that draw for Utah State, being completely honest, but you hope that the league champ is able to represent well. But it was just really nice to see CSU be in a spot where you had some hopes and expectations, and they lived up to the moment on a national stage. I know that we were all frustrated. They certainly should not have been a play-in game. I think they made that abundantly clear. But that was a great spot for CSU. You're playing in a standalone game nationally. There's going to be there were way more eyeballs on that matchup than there very likely will be in the CSU-Texas game, just because you've got four or five games going all at one time. The experience was really cool for the people in the arena. That venue was incredible. I cannot say enough good things about UD Arena. It's kind of like a mini pit, and I had like 800 New Mexico fans tweet at me, furious that I did not acknowledge that it was inspired by the pit. I get it. It is a mini pit, but it's more modern. It's a much prettier building, and I'd love to see Moby Arena kind of modernize a little bit on the inside and add some of those luxury type suites, just kind of, you know, make it look a little bit flashier than what we've got. Because I think it's a great gym. I think it's got a great atmosphere. It just needs some tweaks. And, you know, I think all the fans know that. The coaches certainly know that. If CSU is able to hang on to Nico Medved after this season, I think that's certainly going to be a part of the conversations that he's having with John Weber and Amy Parsons. How can we continue to elevate this program and kind of take it forward, you know? There's a lot of uncertainty moving forward. We have no idea, you know, what this team is going to look like next year, who's going to be on the sidelines. Being completely honest, I would say I would be shocked if both Nico Medved and Ali Farouk Manesh are back. I just think that either Ali is going to get a head coaching gig somewhere, or he's going to get it at CSU because Nico moves on somewhere else. But it just kind of feels like the natural progression at this point, and just kind of based on what I'm hearing. We'll see what happens with all that. Right now, I just want to enjoy this ride. This season has been so much fun. This team is incredible. I know they had to suffer some lumps in the conference slate, but I'm just hoping that the Mountain West and CSU are really going to validate a lot of what I've been trying to preach here over the last couple of months, which is when you get in this single elimination format against teams that are not as familiar with you, that haven't had the benefit of playing against Isaiah Stevens and Nico Medved's motion offense for the last 5 years, it's going to cause troubles. It caused troubles for every team that they played in the non-conference slate outside of St. Mary's, who, guess what, we've played every year for the last 4 or 5 years. Makes sense. We have some familiarity there. I think we're going to be a real trouble, you know, for some of these teams with just how unselfish CSU is, with how versatile they are offensively. You know, they can post up a million times and beat you that way. They can play inside out. They can beat you from three when the shots are falling, which was great to see in this game against Virginia. I know the jump shooting as a whole has been kind of a inconsistent ride for the Rams. But if they knock down shots the way that they did against Virginia, if they're sharing the ball, this team's dangerous. Like, dangerous enough to make a legitimate run in the NCAA tournament weekend two, thinking crazy everything. And now, obviously, you got to take it one game at a time. You're underdogs in this matchup against Texas. Barely. It's 2.5 less than I saw. KenPom basically has it as a coin flip. But I don't hate this spot that CSU's in. I don't hate the matchup. I don't hate that they ended up being a 10 after winning the play-in game. I'd rather be a 10 than an 8 or a 9. I don't think that's a hot take. The difference between a 7 and a 10 is very minimal this year. So let's move on. Let's get into that. Let's get into that matchup with Texas. Real quick, you shouldn't have to worry when you're buying tickets to your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for sports, music, comedy, theater near you. They've got last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and the best price guarantee. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. They're obsessed with finding ways to help you find money or help you save money on tickets. They have deals on tickets right up to the start of the event, sometimes even an hour after it starts. It's the place to find last-minute seats. Find exclusive flash deals, sponsored deals on tickets, football, basketball, baseball, you name it, they've got it. With zone deals, you pick the section, Game Time picks the seats for an average of 18% savings. And the Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use that code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Again, create an account. Redeem that code DNVR for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets. Lowest prices guaranteed. I also want to shout out the homies over at Illegal Pete's. Illegal Pete's is awesome. They're everywhere these days. Wheat Ridge, Colorado now has a location, which is awesome for me, in Lakewood. Illegal Pete's Gold, it's open. Swing by, join the festivities with live music, endless margaritas, and of course, all your favorite burrito fixins. Located in the Gold's Marketplace on the corner of 26 and Kipling, overlooking Crown Hill Park in Wheat Ridge, stop by a part of this historical Illegal Pete's moment. Illegal Pete's, your spot for burritos, buddies, and beer. Finally, Fubo makes it easy to watch Colorado sports. You get 140-plus live channels, sports, shows, movies, news, a little bit of everything. I watched Waco on there. I watch Altitude on there, which is great. What's cool is you can stream live TV from any device. You can watch the most Colorado sports for the lowest price, and you can start watching immediately with a free trial. There's no contract, no cable, no hassle. Just sign up and start watching. You get 1,000 hours of cloud DVR included at no extra charge. Watch all your favorite college football, NFL, you name it, with Fubo. Go to www.fubo.com/DNVR to sign up for 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. All right, let's get into this matchup with Texas. I'm going to start by saying, enjoy this run. As of now, you have won an NCAA tournament game. It's all gravy from here. We have no idea what the future is going to look like. You really do got to enjoy these moments. I don't hate this spot, though. At Texas, they certainly are significantly more athletic than that Virginia team that you just faced. They're not as disciplined. They're not as wonky. It really kind of comes down to stopping a couple of key players. I mean, Dylan Dessou is a really tough matchup defensively for CSU. He's a guy with great length. He can put it on the floor. He's a good spot-up shooter, great from mid-range. He can post you up, he can get to the hoop. I mean, he really can do a little bit of everything, and he carried Texas in the tournament last year. And then obviously the big matchup that everybody's going to pay attention to is Max Abesmith versus Isaiah Stevens. We got to see Abesmith in person when he came to Moby with Oral Roberts for the season opener 2 years ago. That was a really fun game, Roddy and Stevens versus him. He, if you remember, was that 3-4 years ago, was a big part of that Oral Roberts upset. They took down Ohio State. I think they beat Florida as well. They got to at least the Sweet 16, if not the Elite Eight. Feels like one of those guys I've been watching in college basketball for 15 years, but he's got Steph Curry range. There's no doubt about it. You're going to have to be aware of him all the way up the court. He's a guy that can, you know, pull up on you from just a step or two past half court. To me, this is going to be a really important game for guys like Josiah Strong, Jalen Lake, Nick Clifford. The defensive matchups are really the big key here. You've got to slow down Dessou, and you can't let Max Abesmith go inferno from deep. I mean, if you do, it's going to put you in a tough spot because, you know, we know three-point shooting, it's not CSU's specialty per se. But you are going to have to knock down some shots from deep in this one, I think, to have a chance to win. Texas does not defend the three ball super well. They shoot 36% from deep themselves, but they allow opponents to shoot 34.8% from deep, which, according to KenPom, ranks 245th in the country. Their two-point defense is solid, 47.4%. That's 56th in the country. They're a good offensive team. They're not a killer defensive team. It's a much different matchup than what we saw against Virginia. I think the biggest thing is just kind of the culture shock. I don't know if that's the right way to say it. it's just such a drastically different style of opponent, and that's what makes the NCAA tournament fun. But it's certainly going to feel like you're playing in fast forward after what you saw from Virginia's offense, which was just an abysmal, stagnant, awful product. I mean, Tony Bennett, I get that he's a great coach. I get, you know, they won a national championship, all of that. They are going to have to drastically change what they're doing to remain competitive, because they don't have the same caliber of athlete that they had when they were winning titles with DeAndre Hunter and some of those guys. Some keys for CSU in this one: I think they're going to need to be able to stretch the floor. Cartier hitting a couple of threes at the top of the key or from the corner would be really nice. Those spots where you're able to drive and kick it out, it just completely changes the spacing. That's what's going to open up some of those driving lanes for Isaiah, for Neek, for everybody, really. I think you need more of what you got from Jill Scott. You know, if he's able to have another double-double, that's going to be huge for CSU. This is, again, a much tougher matchup. You're going up against a significantly different caliber of athlete than once you faced at UVA. I like the Rams' chances if they can execute in this, though. And the thing is, I'm not just saying that because of what happened the other night. My gut going into the tournament all along, and I don't know really why this is the case. Some of it is the draws, the matchups for sure, but some of it's just a gut feeling. I've always kind of felt like CSU was either going to lose that play-in game, because that would have been kind of like peak Ram life, or this team was going to get it together and they were going to win a minimum of two games in the tournament. And I feel that way still, especially after what we saw. I feel like this team is locked and loaded. They're battle tested. Whenever you've got a group of vets, and particular a veteran point guard, you're going to have a chance. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see how the Rams play on this stage. I'm glad that it's a later game, not a 10 a.m. game like that Michigan matchup. I just think that's so wonky for a team like CSU from the West Coast. You know, we don't get those 10 a.m. games like they get in the Big Ten. After the Texas game, I will do some type of post-game pod, either directly that night or in the morning. It will definitely be sooner than this UVA one was, just due to travel constraints. It's been such an insane turnaround. I really have not had time. I tried to record one in the New Jersey airport, but there was so much background noise, it just would not have worked out well. But excited to be in Charlotte in the Buzz City. It's a really pretty city. It's a cool arena setup. I'm hoping to see lots of CSU fans there. Before we get out, I did want to give my Final Four and national champion. I've got Houston winning it all. I just think they're the best team right now. I think they've got a more favorable draw than UConn, who is also just a wagon. But I mean, getting Auburn and some of those teams with Baylor, like it's Illinois, it's a tough draw for UConn. My Final Four is Creighton, Illinois, Baylor, and Houston. I will say, and this is a big if, like we're getting way too far ahead of yourself, if CSU were to beat Texas and somehow survive Tennessee, which is a really tough draw, I mean, then at that point, like, you know, you've already beaten Creighton this year. Like, Gonzaga doesn't seem super overwhelming. I mean, you might start dreaming big at that point, but at this point, I just want to see what happens in this first weekend. I'm just glad we're here. Shout out to everybody for supporting the content. This has been awesome. Make sure you go check out our spotlight on YouTube. Check out all our written content at thedmvr.com. Always proud to be. Much love, y'all. Peace.
Peaches out of Palisades, sweet as mama's marmalade. This shit sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. My mama slapped that bass, my sister sang these songs. Dancing under canopies, we thank the trees for all their leaves. We are just some drops of water, together make up seven seas. And one day I'll be like my father, one day I will learn to breathe. I'm choking on the thought that I am not the man I wanna be. I got blood on my shirt, like I wear my heart on my sleeve. She said I look good in red, but that went straight to my head. So now she's rocking my tees, tucked into new Prada jeans. And we ain't spoken a month, but I just saw her last week. The lipstick stain still on my cheek, like we ain't talk enough. And we always seem to laugh, but never nod at us. So the future's looking grim, it's kinda ominous. And this song ain't about love, that'd be too obvious. See, this is more about lust and all of my misconceptions. And this is more about me and all of my self-deception. I'll tell myself a lie 100 times, don't need corrections. But every night I pray to God, I hope I learn my lesson. And the peaches out from Palisade. and they sweet as mama's marmalade. And this should sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums, and my mama slapped that bass, and my sister sang these songs. Dancing hand in hand, we were tripping to left feet like a middle school slow dance. No one knew how to lead, but I'm still thankful for these days, they put a smile.